Over the last two or three days, I have been talking about different people groups and how that some people groups mistreat the people in another group. Even in the Bible, we find narratives after narratives when God's people would mistreat people that God loved that was in a different group. It's sad to say we find it in the Word of God, where God's people mistreated the poor, the marginalized, the widow, the orphan, the lepers, and all of these were people that God Himself loved. Yet they were treated poorly by those who claimed to be God's people. And I told you that while looking through the Bible at some of these narratives, I would stop at Jonah. So I've used Jonah for a couple of days to express how some people can dislike, even hate, other people's group that God loves. So what I want to do is give you the narratives of Jonah and his dislike for another people that God loved, a people that God wanted to reach out and bring to repentance, a people that God did not want to destroy if only they would repent. And God was looking for a preacher to go there and sound the warning from him. So the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, "Get up, Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." When I read that, I thought of another great city of wickedness, that was so wicked that God no longer wanted to spare the city, even though there was living in that city a righteous man, a man that loved God and feared God, a man who had been vexed day and night because of the wickedness of the city. God sent two angels to that city, not to bring them to repentance. God sent these angels there to bring out His righteous people before He destroyed the city. That city had ignored the warnings of a righteous man. They laughed and considered him a jokester. So now, God is sending those angels to rescue those He loved and to declare judgment upon this city. They had resisted God's call too many times. God had no other choice but to destroy them. I believe that this is a picture of the rapture of the church before God rains down fire and brimstone upon this evil world. But God knew that Nineveh had not gone that far. God saw in Nineveh a people that would repent if they heard the warning. So Jonah was tapped to do the preaching. God said, "Get up, Jonah, and go to Nineveh and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Jonah got up, but he had no intentions of going to Nineveh. No siree, Bob. I don't like them people. The world would be better off if they were wiped off the face of the earth. No siree, Bob. I'm not going to Nineveh. And the Bible says, Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. The omnipresent God is everywhere. Nonetheless, Jonah gave it his best effort, and he found a ship going down to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof Jonah paid the price in more ways than one. When he got on that boat and got out on that sea, the Bible says that God sent a great wind and prepared a great fish. The wind caused a storm in Jonah's life and in the life of those around him. Friend, when you run from God, the storm that touches your life will touch the lives of those around you, those you love, those you cherish. Jonah was not the only one affected by this storm. Jonah's life was not the only life that was put in jeopardy because of his decision. Someone asked me, how long did you run from God when you felt that call upon your life? I said, not one step. I didn't run one step from God, trying to shun the work that he would have for me to do. During the years of my growing up, I've heard one preacher after another tell the stories of their life. They'd tell the things that happened to them when they ran from God. They'd tell about houses being burned down, jobs being lost, car wrecks that they were involved in. All of these, they say, were God's effort to get their attention. And I would just say, I have no house I won't burn down. I have no car wrecks that I want to be a part of. There is no sickness that I want to come down with. My prayer is, I'm here, Lord, use me. Oh, dear God, don't refuse me. I would like for you to notice that Jonah was unaware of this storm that was affecting those around him. Jonah was asleep. They woke him up. You would have thought that when Jonah saw the storm raging, that he would have repented, that he would have prayed to God and changed his mind, but he didn't. He waited until he was swallowed up by the great fish. Only when he was totally swallowed up did he pray to God. My friend, you don't have to wait until something that God has prepared swallows you up. You don't have to wait that long. You could have done what he told you when he asked you. Or you could have done what he told you when you stood in the storm on the deck of that boat. But no, not Jonah. Jonah didn't pray until he was completely swallowed up. I would say to you today, don't wait until the storm comes. Don't wait until you've been swallowed up. Respond to his call when he calls you. Today is the day of salvation. If you are listening today and you are running from God, don't wait until the storm comes on. Don't wait until you've been swallowed up. Do it now.